This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and welcome back to New Beginnings, an exciting program we have in line for you this weekend. And I hope you'll stay with us for the entire time. And I know you always do have a pen and paper ready for us this weekend, because we want to impart some ideas that can really help you to build your career and actually start a new beginning. So with us is our co-host, Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He has this ability to turn candidates into contenders. And I love saying that, but every now and then I like to revisit that idea of turning candidates into contenders. Joe McKenzie, what does that mean at Ripple Connects?
Well, it simply means preparing for your next chapter in your career. And preparing is making sure that this opportunity that's going to present itself is something that you truly want, that you see as an opportunity to grow, to present challenges that will give you that career satisfaction, will fit into your long-term plans. But you do those through specific techniques. And one of them is just simply networking your way into opportunities by using your bench of advocates, learning more about the opportunity even before you interview at a company, but also asking good questions in the interviewing process to make sure that this is a good fit for you. And that is a contender mindset. I think that anybody that's a candidate is just pressing send or apply. I think a contender takes an attitude of determining that this is a good fit through some of those specific techniques that Ripple Connects offers.
Everybody, we're talking about the role that a relationship plays, developing those relationships play in building a career ladder. So if someone is talking, they're into a new city, maybe they just moved to the Midwest, but they don't know anyone in the Midwest. How does this relate to someone who is trying to build a relationship on their career path, Joe McKenzie?
Well, I think the world is smaller than it was just because of social media and the ability to connect with people. You know, some of the social media platforms allow us, specifically LinkedIn, to stay connected anywhere we are. And we might be able to easily gain information or insights of a new market or a new area where you're at just by going back over the bridge of the people that you knew in another area. But those people that they know may be that first entry point or that ripple out to help you build up new relationships. And relationship building is a fluid process in my book. It's always ongoing. You may be just maintaining or nurturing or solidifying a relationship, and all of those are important in our careers. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I do. But what do you say to those people who they'll say, well, yes, building relationship is great, trying to leverage to get to the next opportunity or to get that promotion, but I don't want to impose on anyone. I don't want to ask them for that help because they may think that they may see it as being off-putting. Have you ever felt in some way that someone was taking advantage of you when they asked you for help in trying to move up the ladder on their career path?
I haven't seen that personally, but that is my mindset, that if I'm able to help or give a piece of information or some insights, I'm willing to do that because I know that there's a number of people like us that have that mindset that, you know, the givers gain, or, you know, put your best foot forward, you know, helping the greater good. I honestly, if I can manage it, I do try to help as many people as I can. I think there's more people like that out there. And the ones that are not will probably tell you early on, but I think there's more people that are willing to help if you ask. In the state of Minnesota, I've often said that sometimes we don't ask for what we want. We kind of dance around the topic. And if we do ask, we might get some insights. So it can be uncomfortable, but I think if we take some steps to know that there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help, that would be the motivation for me to reach out. But Freddie, also, I might be in a position to help them. So that makes me feel pretty good about things if I can be a resource to them at some point.
What's an often overlooked relationship opportunity that people just walk by day in and day out, maybe for the whole of their career, that if they spend some time there, that their career could take a whole different trajectory?
That's a great question. And there's one area that I think that happens, and that's volunteering. We surround ourselves with like-minded people working for a cause or a mission or a common group, small group. I think building out those relationships that are completely outside your industry or your company, I think those relationships could have the potential to bear so much fruit because they get to see the best of you. They see you stepping up, leaning in to help a problem. They see your leadership, your emotional intelligence. That's one area that I encourage everybody to slow down and make sure that you're building out relationships in the volunteer aspects of our lives, or even just in our work in our faith organizations or our own community. Slow down, build out relationships. You never know where that's going to take you in your career. And I can attest firsthand that some of my volunteer activity has resulted in some of the best career opportunities I've ever had.
How do you discern which is the best career opportunity for you?
I always make sure that I'm setting up so I can deliver impact to this organization. I don't have an ego to think that just because I'm part of that organization, it's going to do great. I want to know if I'm in a position that I can do great things. That has always been my driver, to make sure that I can bring the impact that they need to be successful moving forward. That has been my guide, Freddie. You know, deep down, if I can impact that organization and really just if it's good for me and moving forward. And will I grow from it? Will I be a different person, stronger professional leader, what have you, when I'm done at that position?
Does it sound like that? Does that make a person, can it have the feeling of being a taker? Well, what I'm doing now is volunteering because I'm hoping that this is going to lead to a better opportunity for me, maybe at this organization or somewhere else. Is that a nefarious kind of mindset?
No, I don't believe so, because you are a volunteer. If you're in a volunteer position and you are giving back and you're bringing your best, your time, your talent, your resources, I don't go into that with a mindset that I'm going to get something from it. I go into that volunteer opportunity. There's always the potential. It's not on top of my mind. I'm part of civic groups that I believe in service above self. And that is really how I carry myself when I volunteer. It's not about me. It's about what we're working on today. If it so happens, it happens. But often it could be years later that those opportunities present themselves only because you leaned in, you had that service above self, that you were recognized. And so therefore, it's a very balanced approach, in my opinion, to the volunteer work or any work that you do. Do you agree with that, Freddie?
I agree. I've seen it time and time again, a person who was volunteering and we were working shoulder to shoulder. And the next thing I knew that this person was the COO of an operation. And I thought, well, wait a minute. How did this individual become the chief operating officer of an organization? But a lot of that is just that emotional and mental capital that you're investing. I think it was Ben Franklin who said, fill your mind and your with really good opportunities, and your mind will fill your purse with coins.
Yes. Yes. I believe in that. And I've seen that. And I look back on some of the opportunities that I've had, and it's really because I thought that the value that I brought was equal to what I was going to get from it. That's not a taker's mindset. That's a balanced approach, a reciprocal approach. Where can I bring an organization value, and what can I get from it? That's balanced. And I think that is powerful because in my book, that's a win-win, right?
It is. So if you were to tell us what we can do this weekend to leverage our volunteer opportunities, what would that be, Joe McKenzie, to get started in this vein to develop these meaningful relationships en route to a better career?
I would say just take stock in where you want to lean in on a cause or a project, or what motivates you to go above and beyond to do great things, if what motivates you, if you can determine what that is. And it may be, for me, it was always career empowerment. I wanted to make sure that any person, any generation that I worked with had that those opportunities, because I had to start, you know, and work my way up. I wanted to make sure I was a part of that. That's been a big driver of mine for almost 40 years. And so once I determined that, that career empowerment side was what I was meant to do and motivated, then everything else took care of itself. And that then the people came to me and created those opportunities voluntarily.
That's really cool. We'll have to come back and revisit this. We're out of time. Joe, you do some great work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And you're listening to New Beginnings.
If you are ready to reinvent, recalibrate, or retool your career, Ripple Connects can help. That's RippleConnects.com. We work one-on-one with our clients in a safe, collaborative fashion designed to significantly improve the likelihood of landing the ideal engagement. Take control of your job search and create your ideal future. Engage with Ripple Connects, where we turn candidates into contenders. For more information, RippleConnects.com.
The State Fair Community Vaccination Site is now administering Johnson & Johnson shots and accepting walk-up appointments for the site's final 2 weeks. It will be entirely focused on administering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those who register in advance or on-site when they arrive. With all the great accessibility features, including multiple drive-through lanes, translators on-site, and free Metro Transit passes for all who register in advance. No ID is required during registration or at the site. For more information and to schedule an appointment, 833-4255. This message is a service of the Minnesota Department of Health. You're listening to New Beginnings on AM 950. And I want to continue right here and give you some information about AARP. There's always more to discover with your AARP membership. You have access to a wide variety of carefully chosen discounts, information, and services, and an advocate for important issues like Medicare and Social Security. Here are just some of the other member benefits from AARP. Insurance, access to auto, dental, home, life, vision, and other quality coverage for your health needs from top companies, including the AARP Dental Insurance Plan administered by Delta Dental Insurance Company. How about family caregiving? We talked about that earlier. Care guides, simple checklists, support options, and other free resources designed to help you care for your loved ones, all available online through AARP family caregiving sites. And also health and wellness, brain health tips, online tools, savings for eye exams and eyewear, and a free annual hearing test by phone. You also can get work and jobs, resources to help you find a second career or part-time work, plus access to the AARP job board, a job search tool for workers who are 50 years old and over. I know you love to travel. Vacation ideas for every budget and discounts on hotels and car rentals, flights from British Airways, vacation packages, and more. And of course, finances. You can find online calculators to help you manage your finances, access to money management tips, and more. Explore all of your benefits with the easy-to-use enhanced destination. That's AARP.org/benefits. You can download their free app right now for your digital membership card, daily news, local events, and benefits in your area.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with me right now is the Director of Infectious Disease Epidemiology, Prevention and Control from the Minnesota Department of Health, Chris Erisman, who knows a lot about what's going on in Minnesota and I'm sure is excited about the take rate with the vaccines happening right now. Can you help us to be a bit more clear on the mask, no mask mandate that was just recently ordered by the state of Minnesota?
Sure. So what happened was that the Centers for Disease Control at the national level, which puts out much of the guidance that we follow at the state health department, made a decision based on science that individuals who were fully vaccinated did not need to mask anymore. And while that is great news for people that are fully vaccinated, it really posed some operational challenges for us at the state level because we had a mask mandate, and how would someone in a retail environment or at a restaurant be able to really enforce a mask mandate not knowing if someone was vaccinated or not? And so the governor made the decision to remove the legal requirement for a mask mandate. Now, that doesn't mean that people can't wear masks, and I certainly have continued wearing a mask when I'm going into a grocery store, even though I'm fully vaccinated. But the intent in removing that mandate was in part to avoid confusion that would come about because of that CDC guidance.
So as we continue this discussion about mask mandates, what happens after the state of Minnesota reaches its 70% of people being vaccinated or the July 1st date?
Well, I think what I would say is once we've reached 70%, we have a brief celebration, and then we move on to try and get to 80%. Actually, when we get to that 70% point, then all of the mitigation measures, so the capacity limits on restaurants, social distancing, all of those things, they go away this Friday, the 28th. And then on July 1st, or when we get to 70%, then the requirement that organizations and businesses have to have a COVID plan in place, then that is done too. So really, when we get to that 70% coverage level, really all of the things that were kind of COVID enforcement from a legal standpoint are done. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't need to vaccinate more people, and that doesn't mean that there's just good public health guidance that we should be following, but all of the executive order legal parts of the COVID response will be over with at that point.
How amazed are you at the rate of infections dropping not only in Minnesota but across the country by 90%?
Oh, I'm really, really encouraged, and I think that it speaks to the impact that vaccination has had. You know, when we started to see an uptick in cases, in March, we really worried because we saw the same kind of trajectory that we had seen in November. And we thought, we do not want to see that again in Minnesota. And we didn't. And we really feel that the number of people who've been vaccinated really helped to slow down the spread. And the dropping that we're seeing in case numbers, we really think that vaccination is helping us to achieve that. I mean, at this point in Minnesota, almost 64%, 63.6% of Minnesotans 16 and older have had their first dose of vaccine. And that's wonderful. And the more people that get vaccinated and take the opportunity when it becomes convenient for them and is close to home, that number will grow and we will have that much more protection.
Seniors really pushed that number to get us really close to that 70%.
Oh, seniors are amazing. They are the rock stars of COVID vaccination. I mean, if we look at people who are 65 and have had at least one dose of vaccine, it's 89% and 86% of them have completed the series. So it's really impressive. I have to say that the group that we really need to keep working on is really that 18 to 49 year old age group. And I think that's because they are busy with families and work and all of those other things that, take your time. And so that's why it's so important that we're offering vaccine in lots of different locations that will hopefully be more convenient for people. And I will say this too, not only to give props to the elders, but I have to say that the adolescent population is impressive too. We've only had the vaccine available for about a week and a half for the 12 to 15 year olds, and they're already at over 20% vaccinated. So lots of good things happening.
So at that rate, how long would it take for that age group to get to the 60, 70% where we're right now as a state?
Well, if they kept going at 20% every 10 days, they could be good by July. Now, I don't think that they'll keep that pace up, but we're definitely encouraged to see so many adolescents interested in vaccination because that means no worries for sports, no worries for school, no worries for, you know, activities. So it does give them a lot of freedom, and I think that may be why they're eager to get vaccinated.
Chris Harrisman, we also have heard this week that Moderna and Pfizer are looking at asking for emergency authorization for children who are younger than 12.
Yep, and that would be wonderful. We know that Moderna is just about ready for their adolescent vaccine, and if Pfizer is getting close for a vaccine for children, and by that it's either 6 months to 11 or 2 years to 11 years of age, but that would be really significant. That would make a huge difference for our schools. So yes, when that happens, there will be a lot of celebration.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the incentives to getting the vaccines? We've seen a lot of things all around the country with baseball tickets, you name it. What about here in Minnesota?
Well, you know, initially when we started vaccinating, you know, we had what I refer to as the eager beavers, people that were willing to drive, you know, a couple of hours across the state to get a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And those people are all vaccinated. And now, you know, we are looking at people who are interested in being vaccinated, but hey, they don't have the time or the ability to, you know, to make those long distance jaunts. So we've got to come to them with vaccine. And they may be, you know, thinking, well, I've got this other thing to do. And we want to say, you know what, it's worth it. Take the time, you know, put that off for a minute and get vaccinated. And so by offering incentives, it's a way to just reinforce to people the value of getting vaccinated. And so, yes, the governor's office is looking at lots of different things. Would it be a fishing license? Would it be a gift card to a particular retailer or something like that? Something, you know, of value that would be just that extra push that people need to say, you know what, yeah, I'm gonna get vaccinated today.
Wow. Everyone, Chris Harrisman with us from the Minnesota Department of Health. And the state fair is really focused on the single shot for the next couple of weeks.
Yes. For those individuals who say, you know what, I'll get vaccinated, but I want to just do once and done. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is available at the state fair site and for the next 2 weeks, and there are plenty of appointments available. So yes, if you haven't gotten vaccinated yet and you're looking to do so and you want to, you know, just get it over with for one time, that's the vaccine you want, and that's available at the state fair site.
I hate to end on a somber note, but we've seen information about heart issues from having taken the vaccine, but I understand the incidence of these are like one in millions. Can you speak to that just for a few minutes to our audience?
Oh, certainly. So, you know, one of the things that we've talked about when we talked about these vaccines being approved is that there is what's called post-licensure evaluation of the vaccine. That means that even though the FDA has approved the vaccine, we still look at the vaccine to make sure that there's nothing that's been missed. And so with what you're describing as this, the heart problem, it's some reports of what's called myocarditis, and that's an inflammation of the heart muscle. Mm-hmm. And it's usually mild and self-limited. You can have like a abnormal heart rhythm or shortness of breath. They have had some reports of this occurring after vaccination. But I think one thing to be clear is that this is exceptionally rare. And in fact, it hasn't met the threshold of being what they would call a safety signal. So, you know, they're being exceptionally cautious about this. They're saying we've seen a couple of situations. It may not be any more than what we normally see just in the population, but we are going to follow it. And so they're asking healthcare providers to submit any additional information if they would have situations like this so that we can make sure that we fully understand, you know, what is going on with the vaccines. But I do want to say that it's so rare that it hasn't even technically met the criteria to be a safety signal. So I think that's good news. It just shows that they're taking every effort to evaluate these vaccines for safety.
All right. That's Chris Harrisman, the Director of Infectious Disease and Control at the Minnesota Department of Health, and you're listening to New Beginnings.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to New Beginnings. And with me now, we're really excited to have the Associate State Director for Community Engagement for AARP Minnesota, Jay Habila. Good morning and welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Freddie, and good morning, everyone out there in radio land.
Glad to have you along with us. And there's been a report released for the year 2020 with regard to what certain investigators have found with regard to crime, cybercrime scams, and so forth. And can you tell us what that report card looks like?
That's right. Annually, the Federal Trade Commission and the fraud investigators announce their reports, and they've done so for last year. And it's not good news. It was a real banner year for cyber criminals when complaints soared to really record highs with over $4 billion reported in losses. And the experts believe, and I don't have a reason to disagree with them, that the surge in this type of cyber crimes was created by the crooks who exploited the pandemic and victims who were more vulnerable because we're all living through such difficult times.
Who were the people most victimized by these crimes, Jay?
Yeah, so there's a misconception about older people always being the target of scams, and that's not necessarily true. Older and younger people are victimized by scams at about the same rate. But what's different is that when older folks are victimized, they tend to lose more money. So I'm not saying all older people are wealthy, but they tend to have access to more savings. And so the average person in their 60s, when they're victimized by a scam, they lose about $10,000 compared to in younger people who just don't have that much cash on hand, lose more like $3,000 on average to scams.
Well, so what can we do to help the scammers not to be as successful as they were last year?
Yeah, right. Well, the problem is a lot of the factors in the pandemic and other issues in our communities are still here. So we're still living through difficult times. You know, some of it is just functional, like what are you doing every day? And people are shopping online more, communicating online more in ways that can be anonymous for the bad guys to victimize people. But here's the thing. I want to talk today about stress. People are stressed out, whether it's the pandemic or whether it's the justice issues in our communities and ongoing violence and these problems that we're facing. It causes stress. And guess what? When people are stressed out, they're more vulnerable to being scammed. I can't tell you how many scam victims I've talked to, and part of their story is that they're going through a difficult time. Maybe they've lost their job. They're having money trouble. Even people who've lost, you know, they're widows and widowers who've lost a loved one. And that situation they're in their life with the stress and the difficulty and the emotional distress is what makes them vulnerable to scams.
Oh, my gosh. So what would you suggest as a remedy? I know you're not a doctor, but what would the prescription be?
Sure. And well, that's true. And what I want to encourage folks today is that if they can help it, if they're feeling that stress, if they're feeling that emotional distress, to slow down and avoid making any financial decisions during that time. And I know it's hard if someone's going through money problems or other, you know, bad situations, it's hard to slow down. But that's my advice for today is if you can help it, to slow down and not make those kind of financial choices when you're under stress.
Well, everyone, Jay Habila with us, the Associate State Director for Community Engagement with the AARP Minnesota. Is there a telephone number that you can leave with us? I know we've talked about the AARP's Fraud Watch Network. Is that still operating?
Oh, yeah. You know it. So folks can call 877-908-3360. And especially, you know, during that time, if you're having a hard time and trying to figure out is something a scam or not, you need someone to talk to, you want to slow down and get advice, give us a call. And also, it's easier to find online. So it's aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork. And you go to that website, get some resources, and I find that phone number there too.
Very good. Jay Habila, can't thank you enough for being with us on New Beginnings.
Thank you, sir.
And our program continues right now.
This is the Real Possibilities Update, your guide to all the exciting things that are happening with AARP in the Twin Cities. Because if you don't think Real Possibilities in the Twin Cities when you think AARP, well, then you don't know ARP. You see, AARP is hosting free Movies for Grown-Ups screenings at theaters across the metro. They're helping protect families from identity theft and scams with the AARP Fraud Watch Network. And AARP volunteers are helping people in need complete their tax returns free of charge. So whether you're a caregiver, someone who's trying to save for retirement, or if you just want to save money and connect with friends and neighbors for fun at local events, then AARP has resources for you. Get to know AARP and see all the real possibilities right here in the Twin Cities at aarp.org/twincities.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody. I am Freddie Bell. I'm so glad you're with us this weekend. Duke University researchers are developing a vaccine that could provide protection against multiple kinds of coronaviruses, according to a new study published in the magazine Nature. The vaccine, which was developed at Duke's Human Vaccine Institute, uses nanoparticles to show the immune system 24 copies of a specific part of the virus's spike protein that attaches to human cells. An additional substance promotes the creation of antibodies that attack that part of the virus. Dr. Kevin Sanders, the Human Vaccine Institute's director of research and lead author of the paper in Nature, says the vaccine was based on the institute's work with an HIV vaccine. The Duke team tested the nanoparticle vaccine by injecting it into monkeys, finding that it provides total protection against SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. Additionally, the vaccine created antibodies against SARS, bat coronaviruses, and the more contagious variants of the virus that causes COVID-19. They go on to say that we've all learned now with this particular pandemic that now is the time to prepare for the next one so that we can have vaccines on the shelf or vaccines that can be developed extremely rapidly. That according to Barton Haynes of Duke's Human Vaccine Institute. Having such a vaccine available would let governments and health officials limit the spread of the virus, Hayes says, potentially preventing it from evolving into a pandemic. During a May 13th White House briefing, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Disease and White House senior advisor on the pandemic, cautioned that the Duke experiments were conducted in non-human primates, but added, "Nonetheless, this is an extremely important proof of concept that we will be aggressively pursuing as we get into the development of human trials." Good news on the vaccine front. Let's continue talking about your health this weekend, and let's look at fixing heart rhythm problems when other treatment fails. The experts say that when the heart beats out of rhythm, sometimes the best way to correct it is through cardiac ablation, targeting specific heart tissues. I know that's a big mouthful, but many heart rhythm disorders begin appearing as people grow older. Some irregular heart rhythms are harmless. Others may lead to serious problems, including heart attack, stroke, organ failure, or even death. An electrophysiologist who is a cardiologist who specializes in heart rhythm disorders may be needed to determine the best treatment option for an individual. Often, lifestyle changes or medications are an effective treatment for heart rhythm conditions. Another option, cardiac ablation, is a procedure which often cures abnormal heart rhythms and may be recommended to correct the misfiring electrical impulses into the heart. More than 4 million people live with recurrent heart rhythm problems. Every day, the average heart beats 100,000 times and pumps about 2,000 gallons of blood through the body. In an adult, a normal heart beats 60 to 100 times per minute. Cardiac ablation can be safe and effective. Some arrhythmias can be cured with ablation. Some of these can also be controlled, but may need more than one treatment over time. Cardiac ablation has some benefits because it restores rhythm. Number one, you can insert the ablation catheter. It's a long, flexible wire that is threaded through a blood vessel to the heart. Number two, it can detect electrical signals. An electrophysiology study pinpoints the exact location of abnormal electrical impulses. And number three, scar or destroy abnormal tissue with heat or cold. an electrophysiologist with special training in heart rhythm disorders, aims the tip of the wire to the abnormal heart tissue, directing energy to fix the tissue causing the rhythm problem. Cardiac ablation uses heat, radio frequency or microwave ablation, or cold cryoablation, depending on the arrhythmia. The goal is to help people with arrhythmias to keep up with life. Because when it comes to setting heart rhythms correctly, there are doctors around our country who have the latest tools and some of the most experienced cardiac specialists in the world. Their expertise helped make ablation a safe, effective option for many patients. There are many heart specialists like this in the state of Minnesota who work closely with other experts to understand your heart arrhythmia and recommend the best treatment for you. We're talking about your health, and this is New Beginnings.
Are you tired of the extra weight? Are you fed up with smoking? Is fear running your life? Do you feel stuck? Well, keep listening. Call 952-222-3975 or visit westmetrohypnosis.com. Hypnosis feels really good and is very effective in getting results. Remember, 952-222-3975, West Metro Hypnosis, empowering you to master your life.
The State Fair Community Vaccination Site is now administering Johnson & Johnson shots and accepting walk-up appointments for the site's final 2 weeks. It will be entirely focused on administering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those who register in advance or on-site when they arrive, with all the great accessibility features, including multiple drive-through lanes, translators on-site, and free Metro Transit passes for all who register in advance. No ID is required during registration or at the site. For more information and to schedule an appointment, 833-4255. 431-2053. This message is a service of the Minnesota Department of Health.
Freddie welcomes Kelly Von Heidekamp of West Metro Hypnosis.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I'm Freddie Bell, and with me now is the founder of West Metro Hypnosis, Kelly Von Heidekamp, and the website is westmetrohypnosis.com. And by phone, you can reach her at 952-222-3975. Good morning, and welcome back to New Beginnings, Kelly.
My favorite place to be on Saturday morning, Freddie. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And what is our mindful reset today? And before we get there, just as a primer, can you let people who are joining us for the first time understand what a mindful reset is?
Yes, it's just taking a few moments to contemplate a word for the day and to settle into that word and really learn something about yourself as you do this mindful reset. So I invite everyone now to relax, our word for the day, for the next few moments. And we do this by taking a breath and letting go of that breath. And in that letting go, we can breathe a little bit deeper and a little bit slower. And as we do this, allow the muscles of your body to really let go of tension and tightness. Make any adjustments necessary to let go of that tension and that tightness. Feel what it feels like to use your breath to breathe in a little bit longer and then to exhale out a little bit more slowly. Pay attention to the pockets of tightness and tension and see where you can let go even more. Relax and carry on is a saying that we see quite often. And sometimes we don't feel like our bodies know how to relax. But they do. It's built in to each and every one of us, the relaxation response of the body. So when you feel like your mind is too busy and unable to relax, that's okay. Spend more time paying attention to physical relaxation. Just using your breath to direct your attention into your feet. Let them become heavy. Or your hands. let your mind pay attention to the part of your body that feels most relaxed right now. If you are in a car right now driving, or perhaps someplace that you would rather not be, let your mind wander off and think of a place that you love to be and imagine yourself relaxing there. Feeling the warmth of the sunshine, the springtime invitation into deeper relaxation. Now is the perfect time to allow yourself to relax even more. And just by giving yourself these few moments to relax, it's a quick turbocharge to your system. And so I invite you to do it more often. And until next time, thank you so much for being here.
And Kelly, thank you for helping us to relax this weekend on New Beginnings. As we continue with New Beginnings, we now turn to Unity South in the Twin Cities, where the Reverend James Stacy is the senior minister. More information is found at unitysouth.org. Here now is the Reverend James Stacy with a lesson already in progress.
Sometimes life can seem like, what face, what mask am I going to wear? What costume, what disguise am I going to take up? Thank you for placing us in that idea that we can change the fabric from within, that we can make choices of how we appear before the mirror, before our friends, before the world. As Ecclesiastes said, there is a time for a feathered mask, and there is a time to take off a feathered mask. Ooh. You know, masks, costumes, Halloween, masquerade parties, they can be fun. But of course, hiding yourself has consequences. Those who love you may not ever find you. And those you don't love may never even look for you. Remember that game of hide and seek as children. It's serious fun for children and serious business for adults. Emily Cady, in her textbook for Unity, Lessons in Truth, some of you are taking that class from me right now on the miracle of Zoom. And it's always good to look back at it. Although it's more than a century old, it's still the basic teaching of Unity. And although the language and the biblical references may be a little bit of a challenge for some of us, we can always find principles for living. Recently, our class worked on the terms that Katie used, personality and individuality. Personality and individuality. She wrote, "They have distinct meanings to the trained mind, but to the untrained mind, they are often used interchangeably and apart from their real meanings. Personality, according to Cady, applies to the human part of you, the person, the external. It belongs to the region governed by your ordinary mind. Your personality may be agreeable or disagreeable to others. And when you say that you dislike someone, you mean you dislike his or her personality, the front they put forward to the world. When you say, it is the outer changeable person in contradistinction to the inner or real spirit. Individuality, by contrast, is the term used to denote the real spiritual being, the more God comes into visibility through an individual, the more individualized he becomes. By this, I do not mean that one's individuality is greater when one is more religious. Remember, God is wisdom, intelligence, love, power. The more pronounced the manner in which any one of these qualities comes forth into visibility is one's individuality. One's individuality is that part that never changes its identity. It is the God self or the Christ ideal within. One's personality may become like that of others, with one with whom you associate, but your individuality never changes. I notice that when I'm paying attention to myself, my mask, my costume. I don't know if you've had this experience, but gathering with others, chit-chatting, getting into stories of ain't it awful, where is the world going, or even that word gossip. And sometimes I kind of get into that scene, and then when I'm myself or by myself again, I'll have this profound inner feeling. That was not me. That is not who I want to be. But I allowed myself to roll along in that current of groupthink. What others are saying. And I allow myself to be persuaded and moved by it. Well, at least I'm grateful that when I'm alone and quiet, the very depth of my being poses that question. Is that how you want to appear to the world? Is that mask and costume really appropriate to who you are? To the spirit that I gave life to and placed on this earth? You have more important work to do. And it always reminds me of a scripture, a phrase appropriated to Jesus. When all this outer stuff is going on, I hear Jesus' words, "What is that to you? Follow me." What is that to you? Follow me. That is, that's just outer stuff. It's here. We experience it all the time. But Jesus says, follow me. Follow the truth within your being. What is your authenticity? That's what you need to be about. But don't worry. This inner voice will remind us over and over through the years how many times it takes to get us grounded in our truth, the spirit God created, what we are to ultimately be in this world. Katie continues, we cultivate individuality by listening to the still small voice down deep within us and boldly following it, even if it does make us a little different from others. As a church lady said, a little special. Or it will. When you stand in your integrity, in your truth, in your purpose, you do stand out from others in a good way. You become more radiant, more powerful, and your presence encourages others. They may not have the words for it, but they just know when they're around you, you're such a genuine, true person.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
The State Fair Community Vaccination Site is now administering Johnson & Johnson shots and accepting walk-up appointments for the site's final 2 weeks. It will be entirely focused on administering the single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine to those who register in advance or on-site when they arrive, with all the great accessibility features, including multiple drive-through lanes, translators on-site, and free Metro Transit passes for all who register in advance. No ID is required during registration or at the site. For more information and to schedule an appointment, 833-431-2053. This message is a service of the Minnesota Department of Health. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Thanks for making us a part of your weekend on New Beginnings. For Joe McKenzie, this is Freddie Bell reminding you that every day is a chance for a new beginning. We'll see you next week and online. Goodbye, everybody.